You're listening to SBS News.
No kind of understanding of the impact of events when you get inside, not being believed, picked on and turned into who's the perpetrator and who's the victim. I just really didn't feel there was a place for my story, my experience to be allowed to be told and then believed.
A survivor of domestic violence shares her story for the first time, recounting her experience and how it was managed by authorities. Jane, which is not her real name, requests to remain anonymous. Jane experienced multiple domestic violence attacks, but the police response varied.
My first experience with the police was a couple of years ago, I called them because I was threatened with my partner at the time. He threatened to punch my head in, held his fist up to my face, and they were really, really quite nice and really quite understanding. And so then a couple of months later, he assaulted me. Really was a wake-up call, and I really called out to police as an intervention, that things just can't go on from there.
Jane says she didn't feel reassured, safe or secure about the way her case was being handled with both the police and in the legal process that followed.
Right from the start, from when the police took my statement, I felt that I was on the back foot, because I felt they didn't want to know any further information about patterns of behaviour or, you know, threat incidences that had happened previously. I was really concerned about what was going to happen in court, that they didn't have all the information and who was actually going to be on my side looking after me. I felt that I was dismissed, or, you know, any concerns that I had were a bit unreasonable, and I was dismissed. It was about me and about my safety. Just didn't seem quite right.
Jane says the case was being treated with a lack of clarity over which party was the victim of abuse and which party was the perpetrator.
I assumed the experience of the police was going to be like my first one, which was just over a year previous, where they were kind and caring and understanding and concerned for my well-being. And it wasn't like that at all, misidentifying who was the victim and who was the perpetrator.
Now, a report is suggesting experiences like that are all too common among victims of family and domestic violence. Women's Safety New South Wales surveyed 59 women victims of domestic and family violence who have had interactions with the police and the courts. Chief Executive Hayley Foster says while there have been improvements in recent years, the results clearly show that victims are still lacking confidence in the system's ability to help them.
Unfortunately, over half of domestic and family violence victims who have experienced domestic violence in New South Wales and Access Police said they were not satisfied with the police response, and over half also have said that the magistrate in the matter did not demonstrate an understanding, even a basic level of understanding, of the dynamics of domestic and family violence and coercive control. And so what we're chiefly calling for is increased training and specialisation of both police, police prosecutors as well, and judicial officers such as magistrates hearing these matters.
In addition to more training and specialist staff, Ms. Foster is also calling for independent investigations of police and court misconduct, rather than allowing police and courts to continue investigating their own. She also wants to see a ban on victims being cross-examined in New South Wales, the only state in Australia that still allows this practice, and for more evidence to be given in closed courts so women are not forced to testify in front of their communities and members of the public.
And it can do a lot of damage when you're turning up to seek access to justice and you have a magistrate saying, for example, this victim survivor said, they're just as the magistrate said to her, they are just as bad as each other. If you had chosen to leave on that day, this would never have happened. So these are the sorts of quotes that we're seeing coming from victim survivors about their experiences of going through the courts. And really what we're calling for today is that, we need to make sure we have consistency and specialisation in magistrates and other actors in the service system so that victim survivors can rely upon a consistent, safe response.
Jane says there should be a better understanding of what victims feel and how they are impacted by the abuse.
More of a general understanding from from where I was going into, that they would have more of an understanding of the effects of domestic violence, and you know why that you know freezing up or inside the courtroom, not being able to answer questions, not being able to remember, being in a traumatic state when I gave my witness statement when the incident happened. I just thought that there would be much more of an understanding of domestic violence on their side. My ex-partner's friends were in the courtroom as well, looking at me, and I was intimidated by that.
Jane says more layers of safety measures need to be put in place so they can go about their daily lives while the matter is before the court.
When they decided to charge him, an ADVO was automatically issued at that time, but that's just the basic arrangement. I think an extra level of safety would be give some sort of comfort, and that's heard about using safety devices, and I understand that they were doing they did a program in Victoria using safety devices, which were linked in with the police. And it seemed like a fantastic program from what little I know about it. But if I apply it to my situation, that would just give me a level of comfort to move throughout the community or move on with my life with a sense of safety.
Listeners seeking domestic violence support can contact 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732. Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.